What? There's a joy you get from fucking making your own thing.
Because it has your stamp on it, too. Like, I've done ones where you show up. Like, I've done late nights and stuff. And then I did that CISO special. That's that Comedy Central. It's on YouTube now. Comedy Central bought it. But it feels very much like you're just showing up to a space. Like, they're just dropping you on stage from a candy crane. You're doing your thing. It doesn't feel as you. It always feels like an away game. So much of stand-up from like back in the day, it just felt like an away game. Yeah. You're trying to do a little bit of what is you and lend it to whatever this program is.
I don't have time for a long intro. I'm going to an island. I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be leaving it when you see this. My name is Ari Shaffir. This is Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. And I'm here to present to you a fine comedian named Fahim Anwar. If our heritages stayed as they should, we should not be friends. In fact, we should be enemies. We should be in the front lines, facing each other. Gnarled teeth. Who will be the victor? The brawn or the brain? Well, if recent history is any tale, any hint at it, it'll be the brain. Israel, against all odds, has defeated his enemies over and over again because of pure brains. Yeah, when someone thinks of Israel and thinks of Jews, they don't fear the physique of the Jew. In fact, they don't fear it at all. They don't even think twice about it. But they do hire us to do their taxes. I don't know where I'm going with this. Guys, today, Fahim Anwar is on the podcast. We're talking about DIY stuff. He has a new special out, 6 months old. It's called Hat Trick. He did it in every room of the Comedy Store. Go check it out right now. It's on YouTube.com. You can find another special, Ari Shaffir Jew. Well, I've gotten over 3.5 million hits in under 3 weeks. I might not be here when it gets to 4 million. I might be gone. I'm taking a little bit of a break. I got some podcasts coming out. Bobby Lee's, Theo Vaughn's, Howie Mandel's. Others. Why have I forgotten them? There's a lot. Guys, let's start the episode. Me and Fahim Anwar, you got to check out a special Hat Trick. He did it in every room of the Comedy Store. The Belly Room. The Original Room. And yes, even the main room. I'm Ari Shaffir, and I'm a child. Let's start the episode. DIY, episode 494, with Fahim Anwar. Yeah, it's more menacing the way you say it like that. Starts now.
I'll mow your lawn, clean the leaves out your drain, I'm in your roof. Keep out the rain. I'll take the work that God provides. I'm a jack of all trades. Honey, we'll be all right.
What are you, Fahim? What's your ethnic origin?
You know what it is. You pretend Lebanese. Like you don't know every time.
Lebanon?
No, that's Nick Youssef.
Jordan.
No.
I do.
Come on, you can do it.
Beirut.
No. What if this just goes on for like 2 hours? This is the podcast.
Egypt, Saudi Arabia.
Just where in the world is Fahim's blood from? No.
It's not Iraqi.
Balboa?
It's Iranian. You're Persian.
No.
Damn it.
Neighbor.
Iraq. Afghani.
Afghan. Yeah.
We crushed you guys in that one.
That's true. That war?
Yeah.
Which one?
Which one? Do Afghanis hate Russians more or Americans? What do you think?
I don't know. I think it depends on who you ask.
Do you ever go back there?
I've never been back. Yeah. I would like to at some point.
That'd be cool. I would if I could make the time, I'd go with you.
Yeah.
I heard my friend went to she's a traveler. She went to Iran. She had to wear like a headdress a bunch. She's a Swedish chick. And I was like, is it safe there? She goes, I mean, you got to wear the headscarf.
Uh-huh.
But not even everywhere. And I was like, what about the danger? She goes, it's like 3 regions out of 30. She goes, it's just not, it's an overblown thing.
Yeah. As long as you know the code, you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they're going through the whole thing right now. I mean, it's crazy.
What? Leave me alone. Okay. No, leave
this
guy alone.
Is this a handshake?
What was I going to say? Yeah, they're going through that headscarf thing, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Chicks are fighting back.
Yeah. And no one's covering it here in America. It's just like only on Twitter and stuff. Like I'll post, you know, where comics will post clips and stuff. And then there's people from Iran being like trying to get their message across in the comments. Like, hey, please talk about such and such. It's crazy that people have to go to social media nowadays to like get that word out. Yeah.
It is weird. Like they just won't cover certain things if it's not like high enough press.
If it's not Kanye talking about something or...
I think Colin Quinn had a big joke about it where it's like, you know, Ukraine and Russia could be the end of all civilization if it breaks out nuclear weaponry. And it's like, well, we're going to pay attention. But he's like, oh, well, hold on. Amber Heard's getting divorced. Yeah, this is interesting for a second.
And it's almost like,
oh, we'll get back to you.
It's like the sausage links of, you know, news. Just, oh, they're and here, just spend some time on that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what was it? Was it, what's the one with Mel Gibson?
What? When he got pulled over in Malibu and he was
the movie said that was wild, huh?
Yeah. That was like the original Ye and Kyrie.
Yeah. What did he say? He said it to a cop? He was just drunk saying it to a cop? Like,
yeah.
Fahim Anwar has a special out right now on YouTube called
Hat Trick. But Hat I mean, Trick. You're the man of the hour. Come on. Mine is 6 months ago. Yours just dropped. It's in the mills. Multi-mills over here, bro. Yeah.
What do you got?
I'm in the thous. I'm not in the mills.
We gotta get you a mill.
Look, man, I'm happy with the thous. I'm just, look, there it is, guys. Show that URL. They can't see. What is that? Tube? What kind of tube?
Listen, I made this on a plane. I didn't realize it'd be so small.
No, it's not bad. It works.
Special or something. What?
It works.
Yeah, it works.
Do you think like a couple mil came from people seeing your shirt?
Probably 2.3 mil.
2.3 mil?
3.5, yeah.
And then the rest of the algorithm, but mostly just you out and about.
A lot was Kanye just hoping if I turn it around to admit our fault. Right. Just kept refreshing. I was like, he's going to admit it this time.
I mean, we went to Whole Foods before this.
Yeah.
A guy wanted a picture with you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he saw the shirt earlier, saw the special, became a fan.
And he wasn't like, you guys show up in pictures? He wasn't like that. He was like, pretty respectful.
Yeah. Because most people believe that, but
yeah.
He doesn't buy into that gobbledygook.
He does not. Wait, how many are you at right now?
Like 380 something, almost 400,000.
Here, it's weird you lose sense of like focus on it, but like my Comedy Central special, when they were like, let's do a Comedy Central special with you. We're doing this storytelling show with you. Let's do a cross the board deal. And they didn't expect me to do any good numbers because they didn't understand what internet
the internet
was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were like, dude, you were our fifth highest rated special of the last 6 years.
You don't have to say it like that.
Yeah. And they were like, what? It was like, yeah, you were slightly behind Whitney, who had a TV show. Like, they're like, what? And I'm like, I mean, why'd you book me? They're like, we expected nothing. It was 500,000.
That's great.
And that was it towards the end run of Comedy Central, but still, they were still a major player.
Mm-hmm.
500,000. And now you can just get that.
Super easy.
You're on your own and still own it.
Yeah. Before you needed like the conglomerate to help push.
Yeah.
You know, I think like Joe and Sam benefited. They were like the first to pop from that Comedy Central YouTube special.
Who?
I would say Joe List and Sam.
Yeah. And Sam Morril.
Yeah.
Like Comedy Central. Right. They were like, we can't give you a deal. We can't give you a regular Comedy Central because we just can't because of whatever. But we can put you on the internet. And they're like, all right, I think they got like 30 grand.
I wonder if they knew that it would like do what it did.
Be way bigger than the TV show.
Because they were on the cusp of this new wave happening. I wonder
if
Ryan
is smart enough to have known that. Because he saw the stories on this not happening. He was like, well, on TV, especially if you're the third act out of three, we play at midnight, you know, on a Friday night. What fucking dork is home watching that? And there was a tail end of DVRs where they stopped existing.
Yeah.
Because I remember going like, hey, everybody, DVR. People were like, what, old man? Do what?
DV what?
Like, damn. But you know, let's say we got 200,000, 300,000 people. And then a Joey Diaz story, we get 2 million.
Mm.
So he must. And also a 19-minute story instead of chopped it down to 6.5. Yeah. He must be aware like, oh, I think
something's happening here.
Yeah, let's. I can't. I have to fight this uphill battle, but. I think I can get you into a way bigger thing if you just accept a small deal.
Totally. Like, so, I mean, so awesome that it turned out and they took that deal and it turned out to what it was, you know?
Yeah, Sam got big off it.
Uh-huh. Well, it's an actual route now.
Yeah, he's able to afford razors now. He could fucking shave that hairy fucking face of his. Before, he had no chance. It was just scraggly.
It was just like poking out of the collar.
Yeah, he doesn't grow on his face. He grows on his neck. Mm. He's a very hairy Jew.
So it's cool to see the, because I went to your taping. I happened to be in New York. I went to second show. Me and Santino came out.
The last night. Second night.
I believe Sundays. So. Yeah. So it was very cool to see it live and then see finished product. And not only that, see the response. You know what I mean?
It is cool when you get to go to one. Like, I saw it.
Because you were trending on Twitter and shit. You know what I mean? Like, how cool was that?
Yeah, somebody's like trending on Twitter. I was like, oh, fuck.
You're so triggered.
Oh,
you're,
my God. Like, oh, yeah,
not
exactly.
Again.
Oh, no.
You go, no, but for the right reasons, Ari, this time.
The rapes?
No, they haven't found out about those yet.
Oh, okay. No, I'll cut that. Yeah. It's interesting.
So it's cool to see something move culture and then be like, oh, I was at that show. I was at second show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did yours in a cool way. So I taped one at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
I really want to tape it. And the Comedy Central was like, I don't know if we could do it there. Gerard already did it. Mm-hmm. It's Spike Lee. And I sold him on it this way. I was like, Comedy Central guys, let me tell you something. We're going to shoot this better than Spike Lee shot it.
They just took your word. You go, whoa, better than Spike Lee.
Yeah.
And you could promise that?
Yeah. And then
have I lied to you?
Ryan or one of them was like, how do you intend that? I'm like, because Spike Lee sucked. He taped it really bad. He's never taped stand-up before. Till six, I think maybe he did Kings of Comedy. Mm. He doesn't know how to record stand-up. What I've heard is he was in front of the audience beforehand going like, okay, setting up the camera. And now this audience is looking at Spike fucking Lee. Oh. And they're like, who's this other guy coming out?
Couldn't you also see the lens? Like, because for that reverse shot, I kind of felt like you could see the lens behind the curtain a little bit.
Maybe.
Behind Gerard.
And also they did the same thing Comedy Central wanted to do, is put the names up, neons. But then all you have is Gerard walking by. And as he's walking, you're supposed to focus on the comic. And then he's walking and you just stop and go, David Letterman. Mm. And now you're not even looking at him. It was just shot bad. And they were like, we want to turn the things on. I go, no. They go, it'll look cool. I'm like, next time you film here, you should do that.
Right, yeah.
I'm not interested.
Yeah, it's my special. Let me do this. I think, Spike Lee's a great director and everything, but stand-up is a different thing.
It's a different beast.
And also, we spend so much time doing stand-up and being in clubs, we kind of know how we want
it's
it to
like,
look
guys,
and feel.
Guys, the room's better with the lights off.
Yeah, we know these things.
Like, you don't understand.
What made you want to do it the way you did it, with the candles and like that venue, and like how much research went into that?
A lot of research. I had to do, this one was way more DIY.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to
talk
about.
Pretty robust,
today.
Dude. Like...
But it was more like I did a scout the last time. They didn't even suggest this place. The company I went with kind of abandoned me. They just took off 12 days before. Like, we're taking our insurance and going.
Yeah, they said, I'm going to go for a pack of smokes, and you never saw them again. It was just the leaving the family style of ghosting.
Really, LA.
I'll get back to you, Ari. I'm just going to get a pack of smokes from the corner store.
Okay, I'll see you in a second.
Yeah, so just be here. I'll be back in a second.
Okay, I got the biggest moment of my life in 12
yeah,
days.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm here for it.
Okay. I helped you get your start, so you're definitely coming back, right?
Of course.
Okay.
And it's like The Simpsons where you hear the.
He'll be back.
And
then I had to start scouting myself, and it was like I wanted to do it in New York. It's the only big market I hadn't hit with this hour.
Why New York?
It's a home of the Jews. I saved it on purpose.
It's a home game.
I mean I had a manager who was like, oh, there's a big synagogue in Philadelphia, it looks so
South
cool.
Dakota, you got to do it there. Ari, come on, it'll
but
be
I was
against
like,
type
it sounds not great here. It's cool, but it sounds not great. I want to kill.
Yeah.
That's where the OR is so good.
And the belly you room. Crushed last night. And also, it's cool to see the special. I saw you piece a little bit of it. You know, I hadn't seen it strung together like that when I watched it live.
Yeah.
And then it's cool that you just release a special and you see the yeast of the new
of
stuff.
The new thing?
Yeah.
That is cool.
Because some people are with
baseball shit where you're like, whoa, okay, this might be the...
The starter for the next hour.
I did that in Edinburgh when I was doing the hour. And then we added a show. And then my friends who booked my venue, Bob, he had this yurt that he made into a comedy room. It was so cool with like shit all around you. They did weirdo shit. And I was like, I want to perform in the yurt once.
How was the acoustics of a yurt pretty good?
Pretty good. No, it was cool. And he had a bus venue also, like a double-decker tourist bus, which is also very cool. What was I going to say? Oh. So I was like, all right, I'll do my next hour. I'll add a show and do my next hour, the leftover material. And then I did it. I was like, so guys, this is pretty much going to be my next hour after this one. And everyone's like, oh, cool. It's like a cool, like little, you know.
When did that click for you? Because it's so themed.
Yeah.
This hour. I mean, I was jealous, like, how tight, like, you spent so much time on this and it's so themed. Did that come later? Like, you had a bunch of bits kind of about this and you go, oh, let me have this thematic.
No, I was organizing for that.
You knew this was going to be the thing.
I had to pick what the theme was going to be. Once I saw Edinburgh, once I saw the hours there, the way they do it, and I was like, this is cool, the way you're doing these
what year?
Hours.
What year?
Maybe 20... Let's say 2015, 2017. Oh, no, it wasn't 2017. It could be 2018. No, maybe 2015, 2016, maybe.
So when you were out there, you just saw sort of the style in which European comics take their hour out. It's like a new topic every year, right?
Yeah, and it's festival comedy too. It's not just all of them. Yeah, and it's new every year. And they're like, we're all like, those can't be your special, but these aren't special. Some of these are five-year comics. So their five-year comics are doing a new hour every year, which is way ahead of us.
Oh, yeah.
But this weird theme, they try to tie it together, or story arc. I saw this guy, Steve Bougea. He did this whole thing about a road trip that I thought was so cool. It was this chick he liked in high school. He just never quite got on. I think they kissed once. And he's a nerd, you know, and he plays himself a nerd. And he goes, and then he found out who she's dating. It's like, a fireman. Oh, big, tough guy. You know, it's like, it's a funny joke. And then he goes, she goes, hey, you're coming from, you know, Leicester, whatever. Yeah. Whatever town you're coming from. Yorkshireburg. And he goes, can you get my dad a ride to the wedding? He's right. And he goes, yeah, okay. And so I agreed. And then what she didn't tell me is he's been in prison for like 10 years and he's getting out for the wedding.
This is like a movie.
Yeah. And it was the coolest fucking road trip story. And the guy was in there for reasons he should have been in there. Yeah.
Like, they shouldn't have let him out.
Yeah, he's a scary dude. And I got to pick this guy up into freedom. And he's telling me all these stories as we're going. He's like, oh, pull over. There's a bar at this rest stop that's really cool. This like exit. He gets out. I was like, where's the bar? He goes, you've been gone for 10 years, man. And he's like, fuck. He's trying to reanalyze what the world is. And there's this long road trip story. And then he gets to the wedding. And it's just by the end, you're like, wow. And that's like one of the versions of it. A mm-hmm. story.
Yeah.
An hour long, 55 minute long story. And that was one of the best I saw that year. And I was like, whoa, this is interesting. Because I do stories, but not that long.
Yeah.
And not that gripping. Others, like Finn Taylor, would do stuff. He did one called Whitey McWhiterson. And it was all just about what it's like to be a white guy now. And he did another one called When Heresy Met Sally. And it was all about the Me Too movement. And it was from every angle on it. And it was so interesting. He's really good at it. Sloss and Ahir, and there's like a bunch of guys that are good at it. And they had a few guys doing American style hours, like I'm trying to remember names now. Carl Donnelly, he just does regular, mm-hmm. just jokes. He's really funny. But they had this themey thing, and the thing I thought was lame was how they just went serious in the middle.
Oh.
And I was like, lame, you guys aren't doing this right. If you were American, we would never let it get away with us.
Did it get like a one-man show dramatic in the middle for every one of them?
Yeah. And some of them would
like
have
this emotional bottom.
Uh-huh. Some of them had jokes written in because it was so hacky at some point. One of them was like, I forget who it was. He was like, I have a chair here for when I talk to my dad, I get serious. And then later, he does a joke. He's like, then my dad came home and he goes over to the chair. Spotlight hits him. It's like, all right. Finn Taylor did his thing. It's like, hey, if I get too heavy, I'm going to sit down to give you guys some peace. So he sits down at some point. He gets like heavy, makes a serious point. Everyone kind of laughs. And then he like makes some other point. It gets even worse. And he pulls from under that chair a shorter chair. It gets even lower.
Even deeper.
And then a shorter chair. And then it gets even lower. And then he just keeps going down. He goes, so let's talk about rape. And he's like on the ground. It was so fucking funny. It's like there's ways to get humor out of these serious moments. Yeah. And they're not all going for it. And I wanted to shove it in their face. But I saw them do it when I just did my storytelling show there. And I was like intrigued by this arc. I was like, I want to try one of those.
And what was the process of that? Was it easy?
So
was it hard?
What do I got to do? How do I got to pick out a theme? So like what's in my head? And I decided maybe this shit that I haven't really worked out of my like, you know, stick creatively, all the fucking past that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of moved on from it, but I never really dealt with it. Some Jew jokes here or there, but not like
a deep dive,
yeah,
and really
what
explore
this place was.
Yeah.
And then I think it wasn't with you. It might have been an intro or outro of the episode we did of this podcast. Please subscribe. Where you talked about being a mechanical engineer.
Yeah.
It might have been that one. I know I did it from the same place. It was from Benji's old place.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That dog that we have, the dog that I trained to fetch with cum.
I think it was called Rocket Man, that episode.
Rocket Man.
Like about when I was working at Boeing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, Passover was coming. And I was like, let me tell you what the Passover story is. And I just said it in a very matter-of-fact way. So God, you know, the Jews and the Egyptians were
Well, that's what's so funny about it, too, because it's like, it's stand-up comedy, but it's educational. And like, people just have a cursory knowledge of Jewish people and like the faith and all that. But yeah.
I try to make it relatable the way Trump is relatable, where it's like, I'm not going to talk like, and then we're going to take Washington, and then we're going to take the world. You know, it's like, he's like, hey, yeah, these fuckheads in Washington.
It's almost like, you guys know. So,
yeah,
no,
exactly.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I remember having one line of like, so after God hardened Pharaoh's heart, this is not in the special, but God hardened Pharaoh's heart after like four or five plagues, Pharaoh was like, go. And then God was like, he hardened his heart. And he goes, no, bring him back. And I'm like, it should have been over. But God just started the fight up again. That's like if your two friends are fist fighting and they're like, break it up. I'm like, all right, right. And they're like, hey, he called you a faggot. I'm like, what? Oh,
that's just instigating.
You. Yeah. And he just started up. So I was like, I like to talk about it normally. I think it might have been an intro or outro of that. Mm. And it was a very matter of fact way of doing it. And that seeded in my head. And then I'm like, and then I just did a lot of Q&As at the Fat Black. I did like 20 minutes of jokes. I'm like, what questions do you guys have about you? And then what I saw from non-Jews asking me was like, oh, that's what you guys don't know about us. Try to riff answers like we did at the comedy store at the Q&As. And then just like, okay, I can do serious mixed with not and educational.
And then how long was it? 2-3 year process of
five and a
jeez, wow.
Yeah, three and a half years till the first fucking sack. And then
it shows, dude. Like
Yeah, a lot of time just thinking about it. So all the scouting of the locations was like I had to go from spot to spot, like looking myself, and I was like, oh, maybe this, maybe Bell House, maybe which you're gonna be. Where are you gonna be? When are you gonna be there?
When am I gonna be there? I don't know if I've announced it yet.
Oh.
But I'll be there sometime. Yeah, Bell House. If you're in New York, check it out.
When? What month?
I think April. Okay. April
And then when I walked in the roulette, I was like, this is it. It's a theater with a club vibe, with a cool proscenium.
Yeah.
Term I learned.
And you lit all the candles, I heard personally.
Yeah, I lit them with farts. Yeah.
Just to get more of them.
Way more involved.
Because like you were setting up when I walked in and you had your feet around your ears.
That's another thing I got. Let's get back to DIY shit. That's another thing I got from Edinburgh. It was like, you get 5 minutes after the last guy's off. You got to get 160 people into this room.
Uh-huh.
The hive.
Are you barking? Like, how do you get people into the rooms?
No. Some people do that.
They just like, hey, come to my show. Blah, blah,
come
blah.
To my show. Pass out flyers. You hire a flyer team.
How much does that cost? And where do you
it's
find
it's a whole
people?
Promotion. So the flyer team will do like a bunch of different shows, but they're like an hour before your show, we're outside that venue flyering for your show. As soon as your show starts, there's no point to be there.
Right.
They go to another place. They flyer outside another guy's show. And it's a whole industry. Flyers. They're all fucking each other. I got them on mushrooms once, and there's one of the flyers sitting on the floor. It's like, he goes, what time is it? And he goes, it's like 11:15. He goes, but what does that even mean?
Like, I feel like it's fucking with your money when you're giving that guy shrooms and he's supposed to be flyering for you.
Yeah.
Maybe
a
conflict of interest.
Yeah, like, save for the night.
Yeah. Did you have like terrible shows at all? Like maybe five people and other shows like a ton?
The first year when I did the storytelling show, I had some light shows. No, I didn't, but that is to be expected. But what was cool is seeing these low-level comics passing out their own flyers. I passed this female comic, young, every day when I did this, the Jew Hour. I passed by and she was flyering for her own show, which probably started, I don't know, 30 minutes after mine, just flyering. And it was so inspirational. She was just trying to get people to her fucking show.
Mm-hmm.
I could never go. It overlapped with mine. But it was like, there she is again, fucking working hard.
I feel like it's almost a metaphor for what we're all doing in some capacity as comics now. Because before
posting
we were
posting Instagram
posts. Yeah. Like the Instagram video clips every day.
Yeah, you just got to know it all. It's so weird.
Yeah, you have to be an editor. You have to be a stand-up. You have to be a writer. You have to be like a director. We have to like, wear all the hats now.
Yeah, you're like it used to be just a show up, they'll have it set up for you.
Yeah.
And now it's not.
You gotta do everything.
Scouting. You got to do your own like talk to the set director and all that stuff and just like I don't know.
I feel like Hollywood doesn't really like discover anymore. They just scale. I look at them just for scaling now.
What do you mean?
Like back in the day there would be talent scouts and stuff and they'd be like, yeah, I like this kid, let's put him on, and that's how you break.
Yeah.
I feel like they don't break people as much anymore, and now it's like, oh, you're generating heat with this hour that you've done, or like Sam or Mark is generating heat, they go, okay, how can we 10x this?
How can we get in?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. How can we scale it?
Yeah, right.
They're gasoline on the fire, but they're not like, this kid's got what it takes.
Yeah, let me get in front of some people. And like,
because we can get in front of people without them these days.
Yeah, some of them really are not changing with the times. I was amazed by how little some of my reps would like help me with my podcast going when I was had one of the biggest ones, and it was like, guys, get me to the next, like push me to get YouTube stuff and editors and stuff. And they're just like,
Yeah, we got you an audition for Nabisco. That's pretty good. Like you against 100 guys who look like you. Do you want to drive to Santa Monica at 5 p.m.?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Diaz is the best. He'd be like, nah. He'd be like, what? Like, you're in no danger. That's what I always say. Ocean Park. It's, oh yeah, 4:30 p.m. on a Friday. He goes, you're in no danger. Like, what does that mean? I'm in no danger. Like, of me getting there. Yeah, 2 p.m. on a Monday. Not fucking 5 p.m. on a Friday.
You're just sitting on like one of those improv wooden blocks as you're waiting to go in. Like door 3. Delicious.
Thanks.
All right, take it easy, guys. Like, you're a grown man in your 20s or 30s.
So embarrassing.
You go, that's Nabisco-tastic. All right, thanks for coming in. That's your full day.
That's your full day. It would get you out of the house.
Yeah. You would book, though.
I'd make
you
a
used to book a lot of commercials.
Probably like 50 or 60 of them. Today's episode of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank podcast is brought to you by BetterHelp.com. If you use BetterHelp.com/Ari, you can get 10% off your first month. Guys, you're messed up. Your mind's all over the place. You're filled with anxiety and depression. So you're not the only one. COVID gave way right to political unrest, gave way right to fucking whatever's happening over there in the Baltic, Ukraine, all that shit. They just hit you with all this stuff. We're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. Of course you're insane. We're all insane. Plus your girlfriend's fucking your friend. You know, how do I deal with that? I can't get it out of my head. It's been 8 years. I still can't stop thinking about it. I know she's moved on, but I still think about it. Why should she get a tattoo of that guy's name? You know what I mean? It's like, oh, she wouldn't get a tattoo when I was with her. And now she's going to, you're fucking having thoughts that won't get out of your head. How do you get them out? Therapy. You're not going to want to go down there. You're not going to want to put pants on. No. Go online. It's the new way to do it. I get it, guys. This is less money. It's far easier. Just therapy from the comfort of your own home. BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp. /Ari. You get 10% off your first month. Go find a therapist. You can have a whole portal. You can write in all your problems that they'll read later and they'll get back to you. If you don't like your therapist, swap out. Ghost them. You don't have to fucking talk to them and say, I don't know if it's working out. Just go next. No. And it's great. I've had multiple friends that have done it, and they've both, and they've both gotten a lot out of it. So go to betterhelp.com/Ari, get 10% off. And guys, get your mind back. Get your mind back to right. You know, there's no reason to suffer in this world. You know, focus on the shit that matters to you, your friends, your family, you know, doing fun stuff. Not this other crazy shit that keeps creeping into your brain. Betterhelp.com. Get right. Hi, everybody. Today's episode of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank podcast is brought to you by 3chi.com. Guys, 3chi.com is the finest purveyors of Delta 8 THC in the world. That's right. Nowhere else in the world can you get Delta 8 THC as high quality as you can from 3chi.com. If you use the promo code Ari at checkout right now, you get 5% off your order. That's right. 5 Jew bucks coming back to you if you use the promo code Ari while you get your drugs. Now, that does remind me when I used to go get weed for my friends when I had my license and they didn't, and say, hey, go get me a couple eighths. What I would do is I'd get them a couple eighths, and then at Zen Dispensary, they'd have like a buy three, get one free. And I would buy those. They'd get two, and I'd get two eighths for the price of one. Also, I would then pinch their eighths. So they weren't getting, 3.7, 3.35, something like that. They'd get a little bit less. Taxes, as Joe Lisk calls it. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Delta 8 THC. Delta 8 THC should only be bought from 3chi.com. That's number 3chi.com. And again, use the promo code RA at checkout. You get 5% off your order. Guys, if you don't know what 3chi is, what Delta 8 is, it's drugs. It is high-inducing drugs. So make sure to get some, get fucked up, and enjoy your life. They're fine friends. At 3chi.com. Well, let's get back to the episode. I had some fun ones too. Then we had a Ready Whip. You had to be the Ready Whip guy.
Mm-hmm.
You were auditioning. So you're like, hey, it's Ready Whip. You got to be ready. And then like you had a can of Ready Whip. And you're supposed to like pour some into your mouth. And this guy didn't pour it like that. He poured it up and just gave himself a whippet. And so then he's still trying to be hyper and like Jay Davis like, you know, yeah. But now he's fucking flying. He's like, hey, run it. And he just slammed. They showed me the tape. They're like, oh, you got to come to the back. They knew me. Yeah, you got to see this audition. And he's like, ready? He just fucking slams into and the stool falls over. And he's still trying to save it because also desperate. Ready, whip, ready. He slams into the back. He's like, ready, whip. On the ready, whip. Guy just falls over.
It's like, have you seen that audition tape where the black guy does a backflip with the nunchucks, but he lands on his head and he's still trying to do the nunchucks? But he's just careening into the wall because he has a CTE. He's trying to be this cool ninja guy. And he does a backflip and he like boggles it and he hits his head on the ground. And then he just keeps on trying to be a ninja.
Oh my God.
It's the best.
It's so funny. I remember that one. It's the fighters do that sometimes. They call the fight and they get up and they just grab the ref and they start like, and he's like, no. And he's like, what?
Wrong guy.
Like, oh, I wasn't knocked down. I'm like, you're fighting the ref. What happened in the time where you were fighting not the ref to now?
Yeah.
I guess I was knocked out. Let's talk about DIY stuff.
Sure.
Since we both did our specials kind of DIY.
Yeah.
What? There's a joy you get from fucking making your own thing.
Yeah.
I was talking to Schultz about it.
Uh-huh.
He goes, because he helped me so much with like promoting this and like getting the thumbnails and mm-hmm. all the stuff and getting me the right people, how to do clips and everything like that. And he goes, it feels good that you did it yourself though, right? I'm like, yeah, it does.
Because it has your stamp on it too. Like I've done ones where you show up, like I've done late nights and stuff. And then I did that CISO special. That's that Comedy Central. It's on YouTube now. Comedy Central bought it. But it feels very much like you're just showing up to a space. Like they're just dropping you on stage from a candy crane. You're doing your thing. It doesn't feel as you. It always feels like an away game. So much of stand-up from like back in the day, it just felt like an away game. Yeah. You're trying to do a little bit of what is you and lend it to whatever this program is. But when you do it yourself, it just has your footprint
or
your fingerprint all over it.
That's what Jaime Mandel said today. He goes, no audience shots? I'm like, no, I hate those.
Yeah, same.
I would never ask an audience member to look at another audience member. Also, even if they did, most people couldn't see that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's Don Bear standing in the back going, did you tell them you're a Jew?
Yeah.
You know, which is also like progenitors of this. Or, excuse me, I just want to make sure this crowd knows. I'm like, what's that, sir? I don't know. Yeah, it's like, do you know he's a Jew? Yeah. But then they could turn and look at this man. But generally, you can't see a guy. So
Joe,
what are you doing?
Joe List said a thing. I forgot what podcast, but I never really thought about it, where he talks about he enjoys listening to comedy albums more than watching it, because when you're listening to it, you can lose yourself and you feel like you're in the audience. Yeah. Your imagination runs wild. Whereas when you see it, it doesn't feel like you're watching people watch a stand-up performance rather than it feels like you're there. And I think not having audience shots is a way to get closer to that.
Yeah, and they don't even get that. They're like, but what if you're talking to the audience member? I'm like, still most of the crowd there can't see this guy.
Unless this guy looks like a Guess Who character and it's like you need to see this mustache or something.
But sometimes, like me and Bobby Kelly and Big J, we were doing a little mini tour together through like Michigan, and we did... We were in Detroit doing like a big Detroit show, and there was some guy. I was like, look at Louis C.K. over there. And you know, when it's like someone looks like somebody, and Bobby's like, what are you? Oh my God. And it was like, he just looked like a fucking slightly less fat Louis C.K.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, stand up and turn around. And then he turns, like, then the crowd can see it. He's standing up and turned around.
Right.
But if I don't say that, then the audience at home should have no more ability to see this guy than the audience in the fourth row. Mm. So they're like, but how are we going to see him? It's like, they didn't see him and they're laughing.
Right.
So that's enough. Me referencing it is enough.
It's almost like not seeing Jaws, you know, not showing the monster. You still enjoy the movie. You don't have to, you can interpolate what it is.
Exactly. And you know this from the comedy store. If you're doing crowd work, somebody says something, you have to repeat what they're saying in order to get the guy in the back to hear it. You can't be like, where'd you go? And you go, oh, really?
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Because no one hears in the back. Yeah.
Yeah. But when you cook your own meal, it's even if you burn it, it's a more fun meal than buying it.
Well, because, I mean, whether you succeed or fail with the thing that you created, you can sleep at night. You feel like, I did, I made what I wanted, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes you do it for someone else, and it gets botched, and that's what sucks. Where you go, like, I couldn't even do what I wanted to do. Or like, back in the day with the Comedy Central half hours, they would edit it a certain way, where you go, oh, that joke doesn't go there. Or there's commercial breaks. You go, why did you cut it in that midpoint?
Yeah, why'd you cut it there? I used to think it was their decisions. Like, oh, they wouldn't allow this bit. And then I realized once I did this not happening, it's like, it's just some editor
mm-hmm. with
who just did Top Gear. And now he's doing this.
Yeah.
And he'd like to do the best for you. He just doesn't know. I had to train my editor to like, hey, I'm doing an act out. You can't do a tight shot.
Bro.
He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah. Hey, so when I'm doing an act out or referencing my knee, I want, the crowd is going to look at my knee. So I need the shot to also, like, okay. Literally no one, I worked for Comedy Central for 8 years. They never once told me that.
Yeah, man.
It's not their fault.
It seems common knowledge that editors would know this, but I think you just have this knowledge as a stand-up where if I'm doing an act out, we need to go to a wide so you can see my entire body doing the act out. Because sometimes they still have it tight.
Yeah.
Or they would, I'm like, I'm setting up a joke or something and they cut like while in the middle of a word, not on a pause. You know what I mean? If I'm saying motorcycle and they cut it halfway into motorcycle, it's distracting for the brain. Like wait for after a laugh.
Yeah, or don't change the angle right before the punchline, because like they need to set for a second, you know, into this new shot. Otherwise, it's like you're worried the punchline. You want to reanalyze as you're hearing the give line.
Yeah, there's audio and visual information constantly in a stand-up special, and you don't want to confuse the brain with different. You know.
And editing, just like Spike Lee, is not a good stand-up. Like,
I'm trying to work with Spike. Spike is great. I thought it was a great special. You're burning a bunch of bridges. You want to talk about Quentin after this too?
Dude, you want to hear the saddest thing? I was scouting the Skirball, my old place that I was gonna shoot it at. And I was like, let me go look at it again to go look at an angle or where I'm gonna put like, you know, certain cameras or whatever. And like, hey, Spike Lee's doing a Q&A right now, so you gotta wait till he's done. I was like, okay, no problem. 10 minutes, it'll be done. Okay, so I'm waiting there, and I just hear like this, like, okay, cool, he's done. And then, as the crowds come out, I just see from around the side, Spike Lee fucking running up the stairs, jumping into his fucking merch table.
No.
Yeah. Really? It's so sad.
No.
It's like, you're like us selling his DVDs and his book. And it was like, fuck.
It never stops.
It never stops.
It is kind of refreshing, though. Sometimes I'll talk to Bobby or I'll talk to Neil. And, you know, we're on different timelines. I'm at a different place in my career than those guys. And I will be venting or talking about certain things. And then it's kind of comforting to know that someone, you know, levels above me is like, it doesn't stop.
It doesn't. And you're like, oh, okay.
So that it's nice. Like, oh, you can let go. You can do the work and all that.
Yeah.
But this whole like, you don't need it. Like, we're in it. We're in the bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, we get up at all the greatest clubs. It's like flying. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I had this guy, Atari, he owned a weed shop and he was starting to stand up to train with Eddie Bravo. He was like a new comic. And I was like disheartened at the time. I was going through like a growth period where his career wasn't catching up to the talent. And I was like, yeah. He goes, your name's on the wall, the Comedy Store. And I was like, oh, yeah.
You forget about that shit.
Cool. Yeah.
Like it was cool when it happened, but you're so far removed from it that it doesn't excite you like going to Disneyland used to or something.
Yeah.
And then someone else is like, I remember when I was touring with Bobby, Bobby was taking me on the road when I was a younger comic, you know, I would feature for him. And he was kind of in this weird purgatory. Tiger Belly wasn't as big as it is. I don't know if he had even started that yet.
We talked about it yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was like, yeah, I wasn't doing well on the road.
But he was, I think he was. He was like, it was sold out, you know?
Oh, he wasn't selling out. He was doing half full rooms.
Oh, I don't know. Like when I did it, it seemed like it was pretty full. And he's making a lot of money by my standards, by those standards back then and even today.
Yeah.
But he's like, what am I doing? Or he's in this weird purgatory and the acting stuff isn't as popping as it is now. But by all intents and purposes, I thought it was an amazing career.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. I called him on it. He goes, him and Kalilah are both like, yeah, back then Bobby wasn't really doing much. He was doing like, he said I was making like $8,000 a week on the road and like, not like now. And I was like, let me just tell you what 95% of your audience is thinking right now when you said you made $8,000 in a week. They were like, that's not a lot. That's so much. Yeah, but you put your own stamp on something. Even cooking. Even like build it. What else do you do DIY? Change your oil? You don't do that, do you?
I did on my old Toyota Corolla. Like back in the day, I had an 88 Toyota Corolla and I learned how to change the oil on that. But I don't do it anymore. I take it into the shop.
I could check my oil. See if I needed more.
Well, I'm at the point now, I think you are too, where it's like you try to save money when you're younger and do all these things yourself, but you are so specialized in your skill set that you might as well just make more money doing the thing that you are fantastic at and pay someone right. whose
make
job
more,
it
like,
is.
Do
yeah.
this for me. Yeah.
Like, why am I going to research how to fix this part on YouTube and spend 8 hours when I can pay a professional to do it?
Right.
And yeah. I would rather pick up a gig, like do something.
I'd rather if I write a better joke, I'll get more money on yeah. like promoting myself and getting more people like, oh, that show's a little bit better because he wasn't editing his podcast because someone else was.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's just choosing angles. No offense, Marissa, you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I even have to talk myself. You ever do this where you're like not poor anymore and you still got to tell yourself? Like, I'm trying to promote my special. I'm coming to LA and I'm constantly getting in there trying to like deal with everything and like text comics. Can you help me? Can you push mm-hmm. this up? And then I got to get on a plane and I'm like, fuck. So I'm sitting on a plane. I was like, all right, I guess I'm off. I'm like, how much is the Wi-Fi? And I'm like, $8. I don't know.
Yo, I'm just, I get
I'm like,
it. I get it now, but I feel bad.
It's going to cost me thousands of dollars to not pay the $8 right now. In just like time of like, yeah. get this up. And I'm like, and then it's like, it just feels like the wrong buy.
Because you've been spending your whole life being that other guy. And now, but it's to put you in the position that you are now where mm-hmm. you can spend $8 for internet. You've earned it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll do the same too. It feels like, oh, I shouldn't do this.
So wasteful.
My dad would be so mad if I'm spending.
yeah, yeah. He'd be like, Arab dad, yeah. Jewish dad. You're like, what?
Just stare at a seat for 5 hours.
Because sometimes it's like $30. And you're like, what, there's no entertainment in the thing? Like, no, there is. Like, you just spent $30 to go on fucking your email?
But imagine foregoing paying $8 to just stare at a seat for 5 hours, like out of principle. Like,
which I would do that.
It's not worth it.
Yeah, when there's no TV, you just be like, you didn't bring a book, just looking ahead.
Yeah, I'm just going to stir with my thoughts for 5 hours.
Hopefully the guy next to you has an iPad you can pretend to look over.
Yeah.
And not
you ever like, do that? You just like look at somebody else's movie through the cracks. Like,
oh, love
do that all the time,
dude. It's I'll have a movie on, and then I'm mostly watching that.
Whoa,
movie.
Like a Buffalo Wild Wings, where you're just watching all these different movies.
Yeah,
I had an idea for like a Buffalo Wild Wings, but it's for rom coms, and it's like women go to it, and they all have wine. So it has like When Harry Met Sally on one TV, giant TV. Then they have like Sleepless in Seattle on another TV. So they just go with charcuterie boards and like wine, and it's their Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, oh, can you turn on the new Ryan Reynolds? Can you turn on Crazy Stupid Love?
Hey, you know what we should do? Maybe you'd be into this. Carboni and Moses. Remember Moses?
Vaguely, maybe.
They made a couple, like they wanted to do some commercials. They made some spec commercials, but like with specs, you can do, you can do whatever you want. So somebody made a spec. The guys who sold that show with all the superheroes in a house together and Betty Boop. Remember that?
Oh, vaguely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like a cartoon, right?
Yeah. And they sold a spec, and it was the Olsen twins. There's an episode of the Olsen twins, and it was one of them gets their first period. And they're like, this is not at all. They're like, I know. It'll never air. It's a spec.
Yeah.
And it's to show you our good writing. And people are like, wow. And they took note. It like went around. Like, what a cool spec this is. So they made a spec for commercials. And so it was Pete sitting in a car and just sitting there. And then some guy, he's at a light. Some guy's fucking screaming at him, some road rage. Everyone's like, fuck you, I'll fucking kill you. It's like banging on the wall. And Pete, he's out there. Pete kind of looks at him. And then just back. And he's just sitting there. And he just kind of smiles. And the guy's screaming at him. And he's just smiling. And it's like, this guy's like, I'll fuck you up. I'll fuck it. He's just not reacting. And Pete's a nerd, you know, so he should be scared. He's not. And he just goes this, and he looks over at his glove compartment, and it just goes, Smith and Wesson, get your confidence back.
It's like so simple. Great.
Yeah. Let's do some commercials.
Oh man, dude, I have spec ideas. I have one of them where, so it's like a zombie apocalypse, you know, like the zombies are kind of trying to catch the people, but they're running away and they can't catch up. And then there's one zombie who has like Nike Air Vapors or whatever. And like, you know, he like passes like a Nike store and sees the shoes. And then like all the zombies have these like new Nike shoes and they're like devouring all the brains.
Yeah.
And then maybe it's like, just eat it. Just, you know what I mean?
That's great.
Like,
that's great.
So the zombies get a hold of Nike shoes. There's another spec idea I had where
you just take the wrong side on the fight and they're just like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's like, they can use your product.
Where it's like you get a famous skateboarder like Nigel Houston or something, and he has like a fake mustache and he's doing a board meeting and he's an architect, like a developer, and he's showing what he's designed. And it's all like kind of like low key half pipes. Like it's almost a perfect skate park.
Yeah.
But it's disguised and he's pretending that, you know, this is
people to build a skate park.
Yeah. So this is his design for it. And he's pretending to be this developer. And he's like, you know, it's going to be a lot of foot traffic through here. And this little swooping is a nod to such and such architect. Oh. And they go, and his mustache is coming off. And like one guy's like, wait a second. You're Nyjah Houston. And then he has a skate. Yeah. Like on the conference table, he just like slides through. They're like, get him.
So he just designed,
yeah.
Oh yeah, that'd be a fun one.
Yeah. So sometimes you'll have these ideas and you go, "Oh, I have no. What am I going to do with this?"
I think we could just do them though.
I suppose, but
NYU's full of kids who are like, "I'll help you. I'll help a legit stand-up comic and help my specs and like I have rental equipment from NYU. We can just get real cameras."
Yeah.
But I just got to like link up with them. I think we could do a fun thing.
Well, now we're in the position to do so. Like, will you get hit up by younger artists who are like, hey, I paint or I do music or I do this thing or I'm a videographer. Can I shoot your stuff? Like, you are a leg up for them, which is crazy. They're helping you out a lot.
Yeah, Norman's good at that. I'm like, sure, let's go film this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never think. I'm like,
And then it's mutually beneficial. Like, you're getting something, they're gaining something.
Instead of like some fucking weed dealer who comes to your house, you never dealt with this in LA, but like some weird girl comes to your house, like, thanks. And they're like, not leaving. It's like, and he's like, you know, I rap. I'm like, what do you do? I'm like, I'm stand up comedy. He's like, oh, we should collaborate. I'm like,
on what?
How would stand up and a failing rapper? Who's selling? What? Tell me what that means. He goes, I don't know. I'm like, dude, there's no rap comedy. No offense, Lil Dicky.
Now you know what it feels like to be an exec when a guy comes in with a half baked idea. You're like,
dude, I met somebody who ran like Adult Swim, and I love meeting an exec from Hollywood when I don't want anything from them, so you can just fuck around, and have fun.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I got an idea for you, man. And he goes, what? I'm like, it's like, it'll be fun if you're high. What do you think? He's like, but what is it? I'm like, no, you'll get high. It'll just be like, you know, people shooting the shit. He's like, fuck you. He's like, realize I'm fucking with them. Yeah. Like, it'll be great. I'm like, he goes, legitimately, I get 3 of those pictures a week.
Yeah.
It's almost like just be a bunch of me and my friends just sitting around. We're so funny.
Like how everyone thought they deserved a reality show. Like, oh my God, we're a reality show.
This is a reality show.
Yeah. This is it.
You ever sick of the fucking chicks in LA?
Yeah, it's hard. Because it's very much one type of industry.
Yeah.
Is New York a little more spread out? There's different types of people.
So I went to apply for my first apartment. And I was like, you know, in the rain. I remember being in like Tompkins Square Park or something. I was like calling someone. I was like, hey, I'd like to see whatever. They're like, do you have enough, like, not insurance, but like you have to bankroll your whatever. I literally had a Comedy Central show. They're like, that's not good enough. You're going to have to make 80 times your rent. I had to get Ren Azizi, who was on the league, to be my like co-whatever.
Co-signer or something?
Co-signer. Like if I default, they're getting the money out of him. And then one of the places was like, still not good enough. And so I had to get Ren Azizi and Rogan. I'm like, what? So anyway, I called the place like, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a stand-up comedian, but I'm actually successful. Like I'm sure you get this a lot, but I'm actually working, you know? And they go, I've worked here 10 years. I've never had a stand-up comedian apply. That's very interesting. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's models, Wall Street, design, acting, stand-up. There's so much going on in New York that we don't matter. And that is cool.
That's kind of great, you know, because a lot of times when you do stand-up in LA, everyone in the crowd or majority of people are trying to do something very similar.
Actors.
Whereas sometimes when I do New York, it's so fun because you get this real cross section of the world and they're just happy to be there as an audience member. Mm-hmm. Not like I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is cool. Yeah, it's way cooler. I was getting this fight with Kurt Metzger. We always shit on each other about each other's like stand-up scene, how we've reversed, but he was in New York. He would point out the worst of the LA comics. Like, none of us respect that guy. You, like, as if we loft him up. I was like, what about so-and-so? He goes, you think we like her? I'm like, no, but that's what you're doing to me. And then we start talking about women, and I was like, just shitting on women. Just really, fuck them. They do this, they do that, they do that. And he was like listening for a while and arguing a little. And he was like, Arya, that's not what women are like. I was like, yes, they are. And he's like, how many women have you dated before you got to LA? I was like, one. He's like, oh, yeah, man. You're talking about LA women. Mm. You're not talking about women. You just haven't been anywhere else. They're vapid, empty vessels here that are just needy and like want to, not all.
Yeah, not all of them.
Quite a high number.
just because of certain industries that exist here mm-hmm. attract a large number of a certain type mm-hmm. of person.
By the way, it's self-fulfilling. Like, so they'll want guys who are rich or powerful that can help them. So guys then go, if I get richer and powerful, I can attract this type of woman. Mm. So these guys who normally wouldn't have now are into the power and wealth. So then these women who would have been into you for your intelligence, like, oh, I guess I got to go for a rich guy. It's just back and forth. It's just like a blech.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
What about comedy wise? I mean, you spent a lot of time in LA.
They're both great cities. I don't want to shit on LA. It's a great stand-up scene.
I mean, yeah. It was cool to have you back at the store yesterday. I brought you up.
Yeah.
That was nice. Always like bringing you up because I'm like, this guy used to be here. Yeah. We don't get to see him enough. But you pop in every now and then.
When I got to do like press or like if I have like on the in between two things. Uh-huh. I do love LA. I love the store.
So is the OR like riding a bike for you?
I love it. I'll do the main room. I love the OR.
Same here. When I put my veils in, I always say
OR.
OR.
Especially if you don't need the money. Yeah. That the main room pays you. Main room pays you more. And so I did this in Manhattan. Weekends pay more than weekdays. But, you know, it's $80 on a weekend for a spot, $25 on a weekday. And so everyone calls in hella for the weekends because you get paid more. You do a bunch of spots. Yeah. It was nice when you're barely getting by.
What? But you're playing the hits, though.
Yeah, it's also date night. So, like, you really can't work out. I don't feel comfortable working out on a Friday. I agree. Saturday
same thing.
Night. Like, this is their date, man. Mm-hmm. Come on. Tuesday, it's like I'm bringing a notebook up.
Yeah, totally. Like babysitter pressure, that's real.
Yeah.
These people pay two drinks, a cover, they got a babysitter. There's a certain level of show that you feel like you have to deliver.
And it's not when you're headlining. They're buying tickets to see Fahim.
Yes.
So it's like, oh no, every show, it matters then.
Yeah.
But it's like, you're buying tickets to the store. Mm-hmm. If I'm not good tonight, I'll try my best, mm-hmm. but I got a new premise I want to work on.
Tuesday and Wednesday, I love. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is kind of a cusper.
Yeah.
But Tuesday and Wednesday, let's get these ideas out there.
So my thought was like, well, I got to take a night off for myself. I'm like, I'll take off Saturday. I can go out with a chick or something and like go on a date when they're not working the next day. And I'm like, but it's more money. I'm like, money I don't necessarily need. Please donate to my special. I'm very broke. This is before I went broke trying to fucking produce a special. So it's like you just take off that night. It's sort of fun. Why did I bring that up?
Just like the OR and working out stuff.
Well,
and,
I'd rather have the OR with less money. It's just a cooler, funner environment. You fuck around with the crowd.
Yeah, you can find things. Like people will, you'll hear a little titter here and then you can kind of go off on a tangent. The main room is so like, ah.
You did your special in three different places in the store. So I was going to say, I did mine in the OR. I was excited to do it.
Uh-huh.
They're like, want to do the main room? I'm like, I don't want to do main room. I want to do
the original room.
The original room.
That's the magical room.
Yeah. They're like, well, Louis did the main room. I was like, good for him.
Good for him.
He wasn't a regular there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
that's what people like now. They're like, but most people are doing like these 30 minute specials. I'm like, okay. I'm like, but so people aren't watching these long ones. I'm like, okay.
Sure.
Like, so don't do that. I'm like, nah. Mm-hmm. Like, but people watching them are like, good for them. Good luck.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm trying to do here.
Yeah. You have a vision for a piece of art and like you can do however you want to do it.
Yeah.
But I always feel the OR is the heart and soul of the comedy store. So, I mean, I get why you did yours in that room.
World.
Yeah, yeah. It's like one of the epicenters of...
Yeah.
Yeah, so much stuff happens there.
Pryor took the same stage. Mm-hmm. Kinison took the same stage.
Sometimes I bring rock up. It's such a mind-boggling room. Sometimes you work out like last night was fun, like a regular night. But then sometimes you're bringing Louis up or you're bringing rock up or rock's bringing you up.
Yeah.
And then
two people going together, you riff a little bit.
Yeah.
And just picturing now Garland, bringing Garland up and then he's like messing with me and you just go back and forth. Suddenly you play a character and it's just like, none of this matters. I saw Gotzik bring up Freddie Soto once. It could have been vice versa. And then he's like, hey, please welcome. Let's just say, he's like, please welcome Jonathan Gotzik. And John came up with a stool. So now there's two stools and it's like, oh, we're both sitting here.
I feel like that happens more at the Cellar.
Like late nights, a tell. Because
that doesn't happen a ton at the store. It used to back when no one was coming around there, like the dark ages, you know?
Dark ages mean the brightest time in the fucking history.
No, okay. It's
they call it that.
Dark ages in terms of no industry was going.
No money was
coming. But because no one was going there, the biggest swings could be taken. It was just fertile for hijinks like that. So, like, it was the dark ages in terms of industry, but it was a golden age of just exploration creativity. Creativity.
So you did it in three rooms, which is something I always wanted to do, not film there, was do three rooms in a night. Mm. Do all three rooms. I had done almost only one. Occasionally, I did two.
You've never done the hat trick?
I have now.
Wow, you never did it back in the day?
No.
Why?
I wasn't a regular for the longest time, so I couldn't go up in the main room of the OR. OR only on like the pop-in night.
Uh-huh.
And then main room only on like a privately booked show. They never put me up in Black and Fat Tuesday. No offense, you shouldn't have. Belly room I can go on at the end of shows, you know, not during the shows. It wasn't very good. So doing three, like, no, and then I saw Maringer. I was like, what the fuck? That's so cool.
Yeah.
It was such a dream. And then eventually I was like, hey, my birthday's coming up. Can I please do all three rooms? I have my own TV show. I've wanted to do this for forever. It's so funny that it's like, why do you want to do that? Like, because it matters to me. And so you were able to do it as a filming.
Yeah.
Like, someone did something similar at the Cellar.
Who?
Ray Romano.
Yes. Okay, I'll see that in the comments, you know, because I've been on pause before where I mentioned I don't think anyone has done it from like at the Comedy Store bouncing around the rooms. And then someone will be like, Romano did this. And I'm like, yeah, he did different clubs.
Yeah.
But the store is a self-contained.
Self-contained environment.
Yeah, yeah.
It also means something different. The Village Underground is a newer part of the Cellar. It was mm-hmm. never there before.
Yeah.
Roseanne started the Belly Room.
Yeah.
When she was a young comic.
Uh-huh.
You know, like her class was like, started that shit. Sandra Bernhardt and. So it's like, it's been there. It's right. been part of the club for forever.
Yeah, I just can't believe no one had done it before. I thought someone had done it. It's like
not that many people film there in general.
At the store?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to get Peter's approval. That's the only way. And I think once he knew it was from a YouTube channel and I'm not really making money off of this, it's a labor of love. It's a yeah. passion project. He kind of gave me the blessing to do,
he's cool now.
To do
he's
this.
Like getting more,
yeah, yeah.
Like setting up cameras in the main room so we can actually make clips.
Uh-huh. And it was very low footprint too. Like I didn't rent it out or anything. It was just a low, just
so
a few camera guys.
Spot?
How long did 15, I do?
20?
Yeah, like 15 in each room.
Where'd you go around. First? How'd you go? What did you go to what to what?
You
to
know,
what?
I logged a couple sets, you know, cause it was, if you try to get the hat trick all in one night, it's, there's too many variables going on. And I yeah. wanted to do justice to this material that I had built for the year or two.
I did four sets for Mar.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I did a few OR sets. I did a few main room sets. I did a few belly. And you know when you get off, you go, that's the one.
Did like, you do?
That's the one.
Hey, everybody. Just so you know, me and Fahim Anwar over here are stand-up comics. We'll be performing live on the road coming up to these places. What do you got, Fahim?
I've got the Comedy Store in La Jolla, California.
When?
November 18th to the 20th.
Come on, dude. It started Tuesday. It's going to be out Tuesday.
Know. My agent's booked it. I don't know. Like, I don't know the stuff. It's already in the books. Do I keep going or
yeah,
do you
keep
do
going?
Alternate?
Keep going. We can alternate. I got Dallas at Hyenas December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
I've got Punchline in Philadelphia December 1st to the 3rd.
Nice. Same way. So make your choice. You're going to go to Philadelphia, you're going to go to Dallas.
Do both. Get one of those, like, you know, Mach 5 jets.
Pittsburgh, the Improv, January 13th through the 15th.
We've got Laughs Boston December 9th to the 10th.
Salt Lake City, I'm coming at you. January 20th, 21st, and just added two shows on the 22nd.
Is that Wise Guys?
Wise Guys.
Fantastic club. Done it before, but it was in the past. We've got Trembler Brewing Company in Bakersfield, California, January 12th, one night only.
Oh, nice. Oh, that reminds me, I'm going to be in Tampa, Florida, Side Splitters. First time headlining Side Splitters, February 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
We've got Washington, D.C. Improv. Also known as the DC Improv.
I love that place.
January 27th to the 29th.
I might do my next special there.
It's pretty great.
That place is great.
Yeah.
Denver Comedy Works, trying a new thing, doing a best of.
What does that mean?
Greatest hits.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like that album from the four, whatever?
Yeah.
Or Benny and such?
Benny and the, yeah, I'm doing greatest hits, all my best stuff. I'm going to really get over, like,
from
what are my best
ago?
Bits? The whole career.
You're doing it Seinfeld style. Nothing's retired.
Nothing's retired.
Everything's fair game.
Yeah, and I'm going to redo some of them. Like, oh, I can update these a little bit. But best
ooh,
hits.
That's like supercharging your bits from maybe like 5 years in. You yeah. go, I have a better brain now.
Yeah, exactly. February 16th through the 19th. Yeah, I'm excited about that one. That should be weird.
Orange County, coming at you. Irvine Improv, March 17th to the 19th.
Coming soon, Seattle. February 23rd, his hometown. That's where he first molested those young kids.
This is true. That's how I got my start.
And then Fright From There, Vancouver, we're adding a show on the 24th, I believe, and the 25th is on sale.
Phoenix, Arizona, coming at you. House of Comedy, March 23rd to the 25th.
And then I got March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th in San Jose, California.
That's all I've got.
That's all
now.
I've got too. Add in UK and Europe coming soon.
Go to FahimAnwar.com to keep abreast of new tour dates. Also performing in LA constantly.
Go to AriShafir.com. You can see that same shit.
Hey, thanks for letting me plug the dates.
Nice. Now back to this show.
Back to it.
Did you do them all in one night each time?
Sometimes it varied. So, but I mean, I would be bouncing around the rooms. But we just picked the best ones.
So you're just doing other people's shows. It wasn't like your own taping night. It was like you got off.
I put my veils in, and they know that I'm trying to do this. So Emily would give me main room, and she'd
good
give
spots.
Me an OR spot.
Right.
Yeah. So, and she would time it so that when I got off in the main, I would make it to the OR in time. And then the belly room I could pick up that night, or maybe it was another show I can. But I mean, I'm recreating what the hat trick is, you know?
It's so great. You get off stage, and like, they need you. I'm like, sweet. And you run over it. Or it's like the main room, you got to run outside to go back inside.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's cool because you can't think about it because they're like, hey, we need a comic, or hey, can you go up? Because a lot of times when you're waiting for your set later that night, you're like, okay, what do I got to do? You can get in your head a lot, just sort of like, what am I working on? There's something refreshing about not being able to overanalyze anything. Yeah. And they go, hey, get up there. And you'll have the best sets when it's just kind of like, yo, get up there.
Yeah.
Because you're in the moment, you're not overthinking anything. And it's a free spin.
Right, it's a free spin. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah. It's like, this is all
like,
upside.
Hey, you want to go up? Like, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Somebody didn't show. Okay. I was just here drinking.
That happened at the store the other night. So I had finished the OR and I'm about to go home. And then Danny comes out. He's like, it's like a comedy emergency. Lucas? It's so funny. Yeah.
Comedy emergency. Yeah.
Right? Like, it's the only time you could feel like a doctor. Sometimes when someone collapses, they're like, is anyone a doctor here? So he's like, no one's here in the main room. Like, Brent Morin canceled. Can you go up? I'm like, I guess you feel really important. You're like, I guess I'm the only one who can kill time for 15 minutes. Out of my way, door guys. Like, go
door
give him hell.
Like, leave. Let us have a chance.
Kinda, yeah,
just
yeah,
leave.
Yeah. Like, why didn't he just go home?
Dude, I was on a plane the other day and somebody had an attack in the front or something.
Jeez.
Somebody was like, I just heard a bunch of commotion. I was like, ladies and gentlemen, is there a doctor on the plane? We need a doctor. I think some lady in first class fucking choked on a dick or something.
Goes,
some
I'm a hygienist. Out of my way.
They're like, please, anyone, is there a doctor? They got serious. And it was like, oh, shit, what's going on? Everyone's like, whatever. I'm from New York. I'm like, whatever. I'm watching my movie. No answers, I guess. Please ring your call button if there's a doctor. Waited like 30 more seconds. Like, are there any nurses here? If there's any nurse, please ring your call button right now. And somebody rang their call button.
That'd be funny. It keeps getting more and more watered down. Is
That's
that
what
the,
I was like.
Yeah,
did
yeah,
they go
yeah.
like, is there a teacher? Is there any HR people? Like, how? Where do you go down? Yeah.
Is there a fisherman? A crabber?
Someone
who goes,
has any experience fishing things out of places?
Is there an e-gamer? An e-sports gamer?
Someone works with sewage of any kind. Declogging. Uh-huh. Plumbers? It could be a plumbing problem of sorts. You could analyze it.
An influencer at this point.
But you did it. You did it in three rooms. You kept wearing the same outfits.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's why I wore the hat too. Just like, because my hair's curly and stuff. To make it, the continuity would have.
I hope
it's
off of your hair.
Yeah. But also there's something cool about just fucking throwing a hat on and just doing the set. Like I wanted to take the preciousness out of a special. You know, when you shoot a special, that whole, you hope you get it. You have two shots to do it. Like when you do a traditional special, you have an early show and a late show and you kind of mix and match between the two.
Yeah.
But it's this high pressure situation where you're trying to hit the dismount, you load in an audience, and it's this high wire act. That's kind of a recreation of standard. Like I just wanted to film a regular night at the store, like where it's not precious, just do the sets and just you'll get the gold.
I got
you know?
Some Louis advice, not me, but through somebody else. Somebody was filming a special.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I think he was like, it's somebody who filmed where Louis filmed. And he's like, you got any advice for this place? And he was like, yeah, I do. And he wrote pages after pages. He shared it with us of what he said. And it was like, whoa, this is like
really good advice.
Really good advice. And one of them was like, you're a schlub. Don't act like you're a big shot just because you're a big night. You are to be laughed at. You are without merit.
Yeah.
Don't lose sight of that. You're a comic. Nobody gives a fuck about you. You're a schlub.
Totally.
And you're like, people try to be cool. They're special. And like, that's not what got you there. You are a nobody.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you're trying to present.
Yeah, that's what I realized too about doing it myself as well and the manner in which I wanted to do it. Because I knew I was going to shoot it on my own, so I didn't have a lot of money. And I didn't want to try to pretend like I'm doing Netflix with some jib shots and shit because I didn't have the money for it.
Good jib.
So it would have just looked like a poor guy trying to do a Netflix special, and it would look sad and janky.
Yeah.
So I was like, I need to lean into the raw nature, because my skill set, or what makes me special, is the 20 years of stand-up experience. That and you could take a lens cap off and show what that is. So just lean into the rawness of, you know, stand-up is ramen, and people try to make it filet mignon sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, it's for the people.
Right. You're not this fucking Kirk.
I'm not Dunkirk.
And you see it, and they're like, yeah, and you'll have some bloggers like, this was amazing. And then all the comics are like, this wasn't very funny. Like, this was so boring.
Well, it's kind of
for one great moment, and it's like, ugh, dude.
It's sort of like the Rotten Tomato critic meter versus what people.
Oh, wasn't that so funny when the Chappelle 99 critics.
Time
zero.
And time again, it's just.
And you're like, you guys are just
agenda versus what the people are saying.
Hey, in terms of like trying to do something and you'd be bad at it, if you try to jib shot in a small room and it's with no money, you'd be like, this isn't good. You know what I reminded me of? Agents showing up trying to dress like D'Elia. They're trying to dress all cool. I'm like, you're just some Jew. Stop it. You just became cool. You found some cool friends. Like, what are you wearing those fucking expensive sneakers? Shut up, dude.
Like, no one at the agency talks to him that way. They're like, what?
Yeah,
they told
exactly.
Me it was cool.
Cool, man. Yeah, you're just like Brent Morin. It's like, stop it. You can't just have this. Oh, I love showing up. Because you see them. It's off enough that if you've never met them before, they're like, hi. I'm like, you're an agent, aren't you? It's like, fuck. It's like, you try it too hard.
Yeah.
If you just dress like you dress normally, button down suit, slacks, you'd be like, day job guy?
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't know which day job.
Yeah.
What else have you done DIY? You ever built a desk or anything? Like,
yeah, I mean, IKEA shit back in the day.
Yeah, your old sketches.
Yeah, I mean, Goatface back in the day. Goatface. And then we did that Comedy Central hour-long special. I think we're trying to kick it up again. So we'll
really?
See. Yeah, we're taking it out. We're going to take some pitches. And
Goatface, you, Hassan, Aristotle.
And Asif, yeah.
Asif,
Hassan might be too busy with all the stuff he's got going on, but he might. I think he's producing it, so we'll see. Yeah. That's another DIY thing. I mean, back in the day, that was another thing to do while no one gave a fuck about you. Just do stand-up, do sketches.
Put sketches on like UCB or just like put them on, film them. I don't know.
This whole waiting for someone to tell you to do the thing you know you can do is over. Yeah, the greatest advice I could give to like young comics out there is just create the thing. Don't think people are going to be able to see what you have in your head. You have to film it, edit it, show it. Like, make them not say no. It'd be like, oh, this is too good to say no to.
Yeah.
Like the Chad and JT guys, like they make the shit. You know what it is. There's no ambiguity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you had to give more advice.
I can't. I can't do that piece of advice.
Yeah, you could just make sure. Because also like the point is to make it. This is so fucking inside baseball this whole time. Yeah, whatever. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Have you ever built anything? Like something like this?
Yeah, I would do IKEA shit back in the day.
IKEA is fun.
Because
you really do feel like you're doing something, even though they give you instructions and that little fucking, you know.
Feel like a real man, even though they give you like a micro machine or just
a
Fisher
man.
Price wrench.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, an IKEA wrench is sort of like a liberal tough guy.
Those little ones.
That'd be great if they had like an
IKEA. I'm playing a man.
Yeah, if they had an IKEA toolbox to put all your little like washers and IKEA wrenches, you go, oh, does somebody need this dresser built? And you just.
Yeah. I just hire guys now because they're like, build this. It's great. 6 hours of setup. Like, oh, no.
That's a whole TaskRabbit thing now. Like, people will come over and build your IKEA shit.
And they also, they do tons of IKEA, so they don't have to, they know the directions. These pegs are for whatever. They just do it.
That'd be funny. You're like John Rambo. You're just the IKEA specialist. Like, is that a Schlanger sliff?
Does that have two dots over some vowels?
This guy's the best. Watch him work.
That's cool. You're doing more goat faces. That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, right now it's a pitch and we'll see if anywhere picks it up, but that'd be great to do sketches again.
I have some like sponsors that I can't put on YouTube because they're drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And so YouTube is like demonetized or like we'll take down the whole video. And so the sponsor's like, yeah, just put us on your audio versions.
Oh, okay.
But then there's a spot open. I could just keep going and not interrupt, but I'm like, nah, interrupt. where you interrupt the fucking audio version, and I'll just do like a fake ad. So like I did one from Otavalo in Ecuador, and it was just me coming up the hill because I can do faraway mics, you know. Uh-huh. Just me coming up the hill with my dog, and just you see this beautiful, like, you know, I'm outside. It's like, yeah, let me show this fucking scenery, this beautiful outlook, and I'm walking up the hill, smoking weed. And I'm like, today's episode of Arjavir Skeptic is brought to you by Smoking Weed in Nature. Guys, you're out with your dog. You want a little joint. What's better than smoking weed in nature? Thanks, Smoking Weed in Nature. You know, it's just like, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just like, let's have some fun.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
That'd be cool if they were a recurring theme, like they're a sponsor for every episode now.
Yeah. I did one by water.
Mm-hmm. It's like, almost like those billboards you see.
All of life.
It's like, yeah, kindness, pass it on. Like, who's paying for this
shit?
Who's
paying for it? Or, yeah, what if it's some evil corporation? Yeah. It's like sucking up like life.
It's like Nestle for some reason, or it's ExxonMobil.
Yeah. Is that Exxon commercial? That fake one by Will Ferrell's partner?
No. Ex-partner. Oh, Adam McKay?
Yeah.
No.
It was so good because it starts off with all these like weird cool images and like people's like horses.
Just B-roll, motion. Just Americana, yeah, B-roll.
And he goes, here at Exxon, we'll distract you from life by showing you tons of fucking emotionalized images to not let you know we're literally sucking the life out of the world. And it's just like,
it's just the grandpa pushing his granddaughter, uh-huh, on the swing.
He goes, because the human mind can't accept so many things at once. So you'll ignore that we are literally killing all of you slowly. It's so good. It's so good. But it's just like, who's paying for this?
Yeah. Just that commercial.
Yeah. I'm not a good host.
No, you're the best, man. Come on. What about you? What have you built? Special aside. Fantastic, by the way.
I'm trying to think. Thank you. What have I built? I don't know. What have I built? I've built some shelves. I've had girlfriends that have built like a lot of shelves and stuck everything in. Like,
you take credit for it. You go, I've had girlfriends who've built stuff. Mm-hmm. So I feel like a team lead.
You know what a fun thing is? It's like DIY. It's like, no, you didn't. You just hired Mexicans. Mm-hmm. Like I built a deck in my house. That's what I say. They don't go, I hired people to build a deck. They go, I built an extension. It's like, you didn't even touch a hammer.
That always boggles my mind. Like, how did that become a thing? Like, it's almost this under the table. It's just assumed that Mexicans are in the parking lot of Home Depot and can help you with whatever your purchase is. And everyone looks the other way. Home Depot knows it's going on.
Uh-huh.
The city knows it's going on. The people know, but it just works. So nobody wants to stop that because it just works for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was like a joke. I was saying like, it's almost like Home Depot's unofficial geek squad.
Yeah. Or on IKEA now they go, TaskRabbit should take cost about this much in addition.
But that's on the up and up. That's, yeah, kind of some sort of not, like,
this is like, oh,
this is just,
there's people outside going to help you with this.
Yeah. And everyone looking the other way. And, but it just works for everybody and nobody wants to mess it up.
INS knows where they are. They're just, mm-hmm, like, no, this is all fine.
Yes.
Yeah, not doing anything.
It's strange, right?
Yeah. I was eating sunflowers to get my car fixed. And I was just like getting some sun. I was here a long time ago, 15 years ago. And I was getting some sun. I had a bag of sunflower seeds they had on Fairfax. They had the good Israeli garinim, the really big ones. I'm just eating them and fucking popping them out. I have my shirt off, love suns out, guns out. And sitting under an underpass, like a bridge, just on the side, not a ledge, just like a place to sit. Some fucking rich old Mitzi kind of lady pulls over in a convertible and just like looks at me and I was like, yeah? She goes, where are the rest of you? And I was like, what? She goes, I need more help. Where are the rest of you? And I was like, nah, lady. I'm just getting some sun. I'm trying to Home Depot. I'm not one of them. So great.
You should have seen how far you could take it.
I should have just
before
tried.
She realized that you have no skills in that department.
None. She'd be like,
you're just hitting the wall with a hammer.
I don't even have a hammer. Just like,
it's like a remote control, and you're just hitting the wall.
Hat trick. What a cool idea for a special. Patrick, all three rooms at the Comedy Store.
Yeah, it was fun. The response has been great. It's,
yeah,
cool. It's like when I do the road now, there's people who like saw the special.
Dude, you're starting to get, I referenced you in a joke. I forgot about that joke. I got to bring it back. And I just need a fucking Arab comic.
So I even though I'm not Arab? Oh, he's like close enough. He's in the shade of brown.
You're Egyptians. I'm not an Arab.
Whoa. I have to like destroy that mic now. I have to just.
And I was like, I was hanging out with a friend of mine, Fahim Anwar, and people are like, you're getting some like recognition off a name. And
it's name checked in a bit. Fuck yeah. Oof. Oh man, that's ripe.
That's ripe.
There should be a 4D experience where it says like, mist into your mouth now to get a taste of what Ari just
4D
spray the gas into your mouth now. Enjoy the 4D. Riveting.
Riveting. 5 o'clock. All right, let's wrap this up, I guess. So how's the response been?
Pretty cool. So when I do the road, people like will mention that they saw it. It also gives you excuse to do the podcast round, so you hop on all of them. People know you from that. Like, you're doing it now for your special.
That is a cool thing now.
Yeah.
So the promotion is...
It's part of
the
it.
The stuff you're doing.
And you don't realize that that's part of it too. Like, you have created a piece of art that's big enough to call in the favors of doing the promotional run.
To then make you bigger. You're not just promoting your project, you're promoting yourself. And it's like, well, I was going to do it anyway, but it's like, and other comics will get it. Like, hey, can I be in your podcast? Like, oh, I'm kind of behind. Like, hey, I have a special coming out. It's like, oh, fuck. Hey, I'll make some time for you. I understand how big that is. We all do. So
and then like, you kind of see a comic on enough other comics podcasts, and then
you chance to do well on them, and people are like, oh, this guy's funny.
But also aside from that, it's kind of like if you're a comedy fan and you see somebody pop up on enough of your favorite comedy podcasts, you go, oh, he's friends, he's in the universe, and it's a vetting process, because so much like Hollywood stuff is kind of fuckery. They just kind of plant whoever they want, or they just have the people they bet on,
but these people and are they just giving shove your it. Approval on so many different ones.
But like, I'm not paying you to be like, we're friends, you have comedy taste. Yeah. And you have me on for a reason. Like Santino has me on for a reason. Like Joe does. So I think there is this organic nature to it where people
Santino
trust.
Santino has you on because to add some melanin to his fucking
that, yeah,
show.
There's that. Because he's deficient in that area. So I kind of give him a boost for a few weeks.
Yeah, there's a trust. Like, I get you. So that now when you go to fucking Phoenix.
Yeah.
And then people are like, I want to go to a comedy show this month. And they see.
I know that face.
Sam
I've
Nobody,
seen him on
John Smith, Fahim Anwar, and so and so. Like, oh yeah, let's go that week.
Yeah,
that guy's good. I think
it's a shorthand and it's a vetting process because we don't really like fuck with comics unless we're fans of theirs or like them.
Yeah.
I don't think that's really true of the industry.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. No, it's not.
Like, think about certain it's pop so funny music. They just like cram it down your throat.
When I was doing my show, they bring up the like we went on long tangents. Like, hey guys, the meetings today, the booking meetings. We're not talking about anybody else. Women. That's all we're discussing today. We need some more women. Mm-hmm. And I was in with that. So I do want to like a diversity of experience. So like, let's bring up people. And they bring up some names. And I'm like, God, what? Do any of you guys think that person's funny? And there's always like, no. I'm like, there's no bad suggestions. But like, why does that name keep coming up when none of us here think they're funny?
It's agency stuff. It's angling.
Well, they're doing well. They're big. And it's like, God, it's angling. And it's like, we book our own stuff.
Right.
There's no reason to book something we don't like.
There's no ulterior motive. Mm-hmm. There's no one asking to have a certain, there's no agents involved. Like that's what's kind of great about stand-up comedy is that it's just stripped down. It's pure. It's friendship and talent based, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah, like we have the keys to the city
now. And also
now.
It's like, oh, I got to go do press. And people are like, is that hard? I think my family's asking them, like, I mean, no, I'm going to do a lot of dick jokes with my friends. I mean, it's actually quite a fun process.
Yeah.
But it's shit I would do otherwise. I'm just bunching it all in.
Right. How cool is it that the promotional run, which is the biggest thing you could do, it's the biggest thing in the world right now, is just doing this podcast promotional run.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, you would get a PR person and go, hey, I can get you a little write-up in Vulture, which is like neat, but it doesn't move the needle at all. Like you do Rogan.
Yeah.
That's fucking huge. You know, you do Tiger Belly.
People ask me, like, why'd you release your podcast, that your special that day? I'm like, I was doing Rogan the night before. So so I was like, it's a good time to time it.
Name one thing bigger than Rogan to promote your special, other than maybe performing at halftime at the Super Bowl and then dropping your special.
Here's what my publicist said. Nope. It was a mixture of my publicist and Rogan's booker. And I was like, how is it for you guys? Like getting on? He goes, yeah, well, Rogan's the biggest thing and we actually can't get any of our clients on. It's the only one we're like, if you have an in, ask him, get in there, we can't help. And I was like talking to this guy, Stat. I was like nervous. I was like, I'm just like nervous, this thing, it's like I put so much mental energy into it, I just want people to see it, I'm just nervous of, you know, I want it to go well, I already did my part and now it's like kind of out of my hands. And he goes, man, I'll tell you, it's like I get it, but like everybody, writers, musicians, comedians, like everybody wants to get on that Rogan podcast to promote their thing. That's a number one thing. And it's most of them cannot get on to promote their new album, to promote their new book. They just, most just can't. Mm-hmm. He goes, and you're doing it twice in a month. So yeah. He goes, you're pretty far ahead of the game. And I was like, all right, yeah, true.
Yeah.
And then you go do Theo and Whitney and Tim Dillon and Santino and Bobby. And you're like, oh, these are all massive fucking things.
That's bigger than late night these days, you know?
Who gives a shit about late night? Okay. They asked Sam Morril to go out and pay his own way to go do Corden. Mm-hmm. And he was like, nah. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, guys, I'll just make a clip of The Cellar and get more hits than you. What do you mean? I've already done it. So there's no even like class to it.
He did it so many times. Mark's done it so many times. Joe's done it so many times.
Worked for a guy who fucking steals all his bits from other people's fucking late night shit. Just like, blech. Anyway. Yeah, exactly. Like, what's the point at some point?
Yeah, you can do it yourself nowadays. And you're doing it. It's all just for show.
Really?
Yeah, just to look like records.
What do you mean? You don't listen to them?
No. I had some girl design the space, the studio space for me.
Yeah.
And she just like bought a bunch of records to decorate it. So I don't even know what they are.
If I see one I really want, can I have it?
Sure. From the belt. Not that one.
No, I'm just kidding. Eddie Howard, I love going to a record store and just four freshmen, like something like this. I'm like, I'll give it a chance.
Almost looks like a UCB team or something.
Fools rush in. Yeah, it could be. And you're just like, you know what? Fuck it. It's $2, $3. Let me give it a chance. And every once in a while, you get a fucking gem. And most of the time, you're like, that was bad. But sometimes you'll see a best of here. The best of Barber and Bilk. Who are Barber and Bilk? And how did they get so many releases? They had a best of.
Every track's a banger.
Side one, Chris Barber's Jazz Band. Oh, you got April Showers. You got Everybody Loves My Baby. Everyone's Whistle there. And Rufus. Yeah. And then side two, Mr. Acker Bilk and his Paramount Jazz Band. Franklin Street Blues, Blaze Away. Who doesn't know Easter Parade?
Yeah. Quality album. You can have that if you want.
That's so funny. So she just got you a bunch of $2 albums.
Totally. Just to fill it out.
I mean, that is cool. Yeah, you can't. Oh, Sweethearts. All right. Guys, everybody go check out Hat Trick right now on YouTube. YouTube.com/DirtyArabJew.
No, that's not it. Oh. That's, I changed it. It used to be that.
Oh.
But then people weren't finding me because it wasn't my name.
I had somebody reach out and go, I can't find your special on YouTube. And I was like, didn't even respond. I'm like, it's for a second. I was like, wait. I'm like, oh, no, you're an idiot.
If you just type Fahim Anwar hat trick or youtube.com/Fahim Anwar, it's right there.
Fahim Anwar. Subscribe to his
that'd be
fucking,
nice. Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, check out Jew.
Check out Jew. Subscribe to
the
mine.
Special. check out, do you get Jew. That a lot? Just like out of context, it's just so funny in conversation to talk about it. Like me just saying, check out Jew, and I'm pointing at you. Just like if you dice that up, it looks so bad.
It looks so bad.
That's what I'm trying to help.
I'll get like young comics that want to introduce me and like say whatever you want. You know, I'm like, it's kind of even the introduction time. It's your time on stage, not mine. So just I don't know, whatever. But they go, he was the Amazing Racist, which. If you know
so
me,
long ago.
Yeah. But if you know that, you're like, oh, cool. If you don't know that, it sounds horrible. If you're like, what's this guy about to be? Ugh. And it's like it just doesn't hold as a name. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been on National Lampoon's. Like, okay.
There
say
you
that.
Go. Yeah. That's a deep cut credit too. Yeah, that just taints cut. The crowd for you as well. So it's like a super old credit and they think you're a huge racist.
Yeah.
Ari Shaffir.
I love giving like old credits for no reason. Like saying Goatface for you or saying like I bought Bill Burr once and I was like, you guys know him from the show Townies on ABC? Give it up. And he comes up like, Townies. Hardball with Rogan.
I was on an episode of Rizzoli and Isles where they're questioning me. That'd be a great credit.
That'd be a good one.
This guy, you may know him from TNT's Rizzoli and Isles.
Like,
getting questioned by Angie Harmon. Ladies and gentlemen, he didn't do it. He was just a red herring in the first act. Fahim Anwar.
I love watching an old like Law and Order. Mm-hmm. And you'll see like some of the questioning in the beginning is like, oh, it's not the guy. But that guy is a young Brad Pitt. And you're like, I guarantee you that's the guy. There's no way Brad Pitt just did a fucking one day roll on this.
That's a good point.
So it's like, I know what he's become. This was guy was in the fucking mix, you know? Or who played Penny on the fucking Marvel on Iron Man?
Gwyneth Paltrow?
She was in one. And it was like, she's coming back. Yeah. And she did. And she's this evil fucking bitch. And you're like, you just say, it's great at the time before they had the credits. But now, from 12 years ago, it's like, nah, dude.
Yeah.
Anyway, Hat Trick on YouTube. There'll be a link. Actually, maybe right now or in the outro, If you're watching on youtube.com/RHFear, come subscribe. I'll put a box up right here. You can just click on it and go right to Fahim's special, How Trek. He's one of the best comics in the world. Legitimately, thanks. I'm not just saying that.
I appreciate it. Thanks, man. I mean,
I saw a comment once that said, I can tell when Ari is feels obligated to promote a special versus when he actually wants to, because his wording is different because he's so autistic that he can't fully say this guy's great. He just goes, oh guys, he's got a new special out, you gotta check it out, versus yeah, trust me, you'll never go wrong, you know.
It's sort of like I mean, that's way more preferable to the this guy clubs and colleges all over, like that's just such a generic, like when you bring up the next comic, uh-huh, oh this guy's amazing, clubs and colleges, like the most nebulous intro. Yeah. But that's genuine and I appreciate it. Thanks,
yeah. Anytime you had a chance to see Fahim on the road, do. He will crush. What? Where are you going to be?
Boston.
Hold on. Do it and then we'll record it. Go ahead, do it. Boston.
Let's see. Boston, Phoenix, New York, Philly, La Jolla this weekend. Wait, what are we on now? I'm trying to think where. What other days do I have?
Tuesday.
There's some more too, but those are like the bulk of it right now.
Okay. Thank you very much for tuning in, everybody. I'm out.
I'm not the kind to use a pencil or rule. I'm handy with love and I'm no fool. I fix broken hearts, I know, but I truly can. If your broken heart should need repair, then I am the man to see.
That's the episode, you guys. We're done. I'm out. Kyla, keep fucking throwing shit up on my Instagram. Guys, if you want to start throwing tour names out at me, now's the time. Photoshops, whatever you want, throw them out. Don't forget to keep watching Jew. Keep telling your friends. Christmas is coming. Thanksgiving is coming. Show your family. Show your family, Ari Shaffir Jew. And show your family Hat Trick with Fahim Anwar. I'm not lying. He is a great comic. He's a killer. He's a tough follow. It has been for like a decade. He's great. Also, the only guy I've laughed at with that, Gustav Klimt's, what was it? When the guy's devouring the other guy? Man, we were on mushrooms and fucking laughing at that. Anyway, thank you very much, Fahim. Until next week. No, next week is off. Matt Brongle will be on the week after that. Keep watching, Jew. Keep telling your friends. If you haven't donated yet, it's not too late to do it. Send in your Photoshops for the tour. Send in your Photoshops for Jew. Kyla, keep posting them at least one a day for Jew. And at least, well, you can start with the Photoshops for the tour in like a week or something. Maybe halfway through December. Guys, that's it. Don't forget to come see me. Dallas, first weekend of December. Reggie Conquest is no longer coming. Pittsburgh, Salt Lake City. Vancouver, about to be second show added. Seattle on March 23rd, February 23rd is about to be added at the Moore Theater. Get ready for the pre-sale. We'll be coming soon. Vancouver will be the 25th, probably the 24th as well. We'll see. Tampa, the first week of February. San Jose, March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. I think that's it. Europe coming soon in May. Thank you very much for tuning in. Talk to you guys later. Bye. I'm on vacation.
Well, there was a man lived in a shed. Spent most of his day. The shed was rotten when it rained. Said it was enough to drive any man insane. When it rained, he felt so bad. When it snowed, he felt just simply sad. Girl who lived near
very big and grand. For him it seemed like some very distant land. So when he called her, his shed to mend, she said, I'm sorry, you just have to find. Sheds are nicer than you.